Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration comes to us from Romans chapter 12. I'll begin reading that now. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of our God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy transforms us and endures forever. Amen. Thanksgiving, more than any other holiday that we celebrate in this country, has a set menu. I'm not saying it's no longer Thanksgiving if you go off menu. I'm just saying that if you're going to mess with tradition, you better knock it out of the park. Most people expect turkey, stuffing, dressing, rolls, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, gravy, green beans, corn, cranberry, and pie for their Thanksgiving meal. That's the tradition. Now, you might be able to skip out on one, maybe two or three of those things, and nobody will say anything. But if you mess with it too much, you're going to ruffle some feathers. It's a lot of food, though, isn't it? I mean, regular dinner plates can't really handle a sampling of everything. Neither can your regular belt notch. But every year we trot out basically the same spread and we end up with the same wonderful situation come Thursday evening and on Friday. Leftovers, lots and lots of leftovers. We have lots of leftovers because there's no real good way to scale down most of these menu items. It's hard to find a turkey that's under 20 pounds. Most of the recipes that we work from call for a 9x13 pan full of dressing and green bean casserole. And yeah, you can buy potatoes individually, but they come in 5 and 10 pound bags. And rolls are sold by the dozen, sometimes even two dozen. And of course, there's still the pie. Each pie serves at least 8 slices, and then you've got to have some variety. It's a whole lot of food. And we know this going into it. We know that we're never going to finish everything that we make at that first meal. We know we're going to have leftovers, so we make plans for that. We make sure that we've got lots of empty Tupperware to put it all in. We make sure we've got a few of those Cool Whip containers lying around to send home with our guests. And as far as leftovers go, Thanksgiving leftovers might be the very finest we have all year, but they're still leftovers. By definition, they're not the best that we can do. And that's why, even though cooking on the day of Thanksgiving can be stressful, and even though we know we're going to have lots of leftovers, nobody dreams of making the whole meal on Wednesday and then just popping it in the microwave or the air fryer on Thursday. It would be more convenient. It would be easier. But it wouldn't be our best. So we don't do it. So if leftovers aren't good enough for Thanksgiving with friends and family, why do we think our leftovers ought to be good enough for our God? Now, right off the bat, you and I don't think that we're giving God our leftovers. We don't think of our worship being anything like something that we found in the back of the fridge we've reheated. And that's why we need to be reminded of how Jesus summarized what it means to worship God truly and properly. In Mark 12, he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That's the litmus test. All your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. So we have to ask ourselves, is your heart devoted to God's will and way? Is your soul engrossed in glorifying God in everything that you feel and do? Is your mind riveted with God's perfect design, his unsearchable wisdom? Do you expend your strength in advancing his kingdom and doing his will? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? Far too often, we live with divided hearts. We try to serve multiple masters. Of course, as a child of God, there's a part of us that wants to do things God's way. The counsel that our consciences give us is appealing, but what it calls us to do is often hard. And sometimes doing the right thing causes us to lose out on some things that we really wanted, some experiences we were hoping to have. And so we have to make a choice. Are we going to do it God's way or my way? Our souls get pulled in many different directions too. We want to glorify God, but we also want to be respected and liked. We want to be successful and comfortable. And it's wonderful when we can do both things at the same time, but far too often we do have to make a choice. Will we do what gains us favor in the eyes of men or God? Our minds experience these conflicts too. Sometimes they just get distracted. We think about how many times we've come to church or opened our Bibles up and we just can't really seem to focus the way that we know we ought to. But it's more than that. There are many things that God calls us to be and to do that just do not make sense to us. For example, why should we turn the other cheek? Why should we consider others better than ourselves? Why should we submit to sinful authorities? Why should we forgive people who have wronged us unconditionally? Won't this create situations where other people take advantage of us? Won't we be rewarding bad behavior? You see, when we live with a divided heart, a soul pulled in many directions, and a conflicted mind, it's no wonder that we struggle to love God with all of our strength. Because our strength is typically spent on what we think, what we feel, what we trust to be most important. Is that advancing God's kingdom, doing his will? Or your own? Ask yourself this. When was the last time you felt worn out from doing something just for the Lord? Now, it's not that we don't give God any of our hearts or souls. It's not that we never use our intellectual gifts or physical strength to serve him. It's just that far too often we only give God what we've got left over, what we think we can spare, what we think we don't personally need. And we're not alone. That is the example that we see all around us. Eternal things take a backseat to temporal things. Spiritual matters are put off because we've got things to do right now. God's way gathers dust because we don't think it works in this modern world. And without even realizing it, we are conforming to the pattern of this world. And that's why we need God to speak to us bluntly. We need him to tell us why we are here and what we are to be and do. And that's where Romans 12 comes in. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do we offer our all as a holy and pleasing sacrifice to God? How do we give God the true and proper worship that we recognize he deserves? How can we be transformed to think more like our Lord? Look at where Paul begins. Five words, in view of God's mercy. When God's mercy moves from being just a distant blip in the rearview mirror of our hearts, souls, minds, and lives to being the thing that drives us, that guides us, that we're pointed towards and motivated by, everything changes. Our hearts change. Our souls change. Our minds are transformed. Our strength is renewed. How we live, how we worship God, isn't just about how we spend an hour a week, but 7 days a week in all we do. Because that's precisely what God's mercy did for us. God's mercy, his faithful love, his incomprehensible, inexhaustible pity for people who ignored him, hated him, and rebelled against him, moved him to offer himself as a living and dying sacrifice. This has been God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. God never gave you his leftovers, though that would be more than any of us deserve. God gave us his very best, himself. His mercy was made manifest. His son became our substitute and our savior. And it is Christ's death that grabs all of the spiritual headlines, as it well should. On the cross, the perfect Son of God suffered and died as a condemned criminal. On the cross, Jesus, who always said and did what was good, always did what pleased his heavenly Father, offered his whole self, his heart, his mind, his soul, all his strength as our substitute and savior so that we might be transformed. But we must also keep in mind that Jesus didn't just show up on earth for Good Friday. He didn't just descend from heaven for a mission for a few days and die in our place. No, he lived a life that was marked by humility rather than decadence. For decades, he delighted in the Word of God, even when almost nobody in his hometown thought he was anything special. For years, he meekly served the people around him. He respected sinful authorities. He turned the other cheek. He forgave freely. And even as he made his ministry more public, as he taught the crowds and healed the sick, we see him offering himself as a living sacrifice. He sacrificed his time teaching the people with stories that they could grasp so they could begin to appreciate the things they could never imagine. He took the time to answer questions. He took the time to bless the little children. He sacrificed his life. Jesus healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He showed compassion to the sad, the suffering, and the lost. He went out of his way to find those who were way off course. And though his world followed the pattern of pride and glory, he continued to walk the humble way of the cross. He knew that this was his Father's good, pleasing, and perfect will. He knew that this was the only way that sinners like us, people with corrupt hearts, selfish souls, depraved minds, and overconfidence in our own strength, only by becoming our substitute and our Savior could we be made holy and pleasing to God. Only God's mercy could make us so different. Only God's mercy can make such a difference. And it has in you and in your life. You recognize that your wisdom, your devotion, your self-discipline could never be the reason that God would declare you holy or pleasing in his sight. The law has opened your eyes. The Spirit has filled you and sobered you up so that you see what you are by nature. And you know what God has made you through his grace and his mercy. In Christ, you are holy and pleasing. In Christ, you are unique and united. Because of God's great mercy, each of us has been made into members of the body of Christ. We belong to Christ because of what he has done for us in his mercy. We belong to his body, to one another, because of God's transformative mercy that we all share. In Christ, we are unique and yet still united. We are gathered together and now depend on one another. We serve each other to the glory of God, and we don't settle for giving each other our life's leftovers. With all that being said, what each of us brings to the table is not exactly the same. We are united by God's mercy, but we are uniquely gifted by God to meet each other's needs. Some excel in speaking the words of God. Others are incredibly servant-hearted. There are those who can explain, model, and coach others what it means to offer themselves as a living sacrifice. There are those who cheer their fellow Christians on day after day after day. They are modern-day Barnabases, sons and daughters of encouragement. There are those who cannot help but be generous. Not all of them are wealthy in this world, but they have an eye for those in need and a heart to help. There are those who are gifted for leadership. They inspire the people around them. They rally the troops. They set everyone's sights on God's goals. And there are those who excel in compassion, mercy, and faithful love. You have been gifted in one of these ways. More than likely, you have been gifted in multiple expressions of mercy like this. And the body of believers that God has united you to needs them too. We need you just as much as you need us. Just like the Thanksgiving table would be incomplete without the sides and the pies, the church of God would be lacking something if it didn't have you and your gifts. You offering yourself, living, serving, encouraging, diligent sacrifices. Because in each of these grace gifts, we see God's living sacrifice. We see Jesus. He spoke God's word boldly. He served humbly. He taught faithfully. He encouraged ceaselessly. He gave his all. He led the lost to heaven. He showed mercy. And in this world, you and I are called to be like Jesus. Now, our sacrifices are living. Our death does not save souls, but how we live our lives points to the one who lived and died and rose again for us. The one who has shown us mercy, who's called us and equipped us uniquely and also united us. So whatever you're bringing to the table, whether it's speaking the words of God, showing mercy, being generous, leading, encouraging, showing mercy, whatever you're bringing to the table, give it your all. And God, in his mercy, will make it a feast for all. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. May God continue to bless and keep you and enrich you so that you might show mercy to those around you. If you'd like to learn more about the mercy-filled community that God has gathered together at River of Life, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll learn more about what we believe and teach, how we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. If you'd like encouragement in this area, if you'd like to know your Savior's mercy better, I invite you to reach out to me on our website at azriveroflife.com. You'll find a number of ways to connect with me personally. May God continue to bless and keep you. Until next time, bye.